To what chapter? What book? Matthew chapter what? Wrong. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I had exactly zero time to work on a lesson for tonight. It just happened that way. Of course, having a funeral today, and then actually four different families that I've been trying to deal with for the last 2 days, and I'm not complaining, but the result of that is I would rather than throw something together, I would rather just go into the archives and find a lesson that I taught a long time ago that I did put some time into. And it's when I do that, it's never fresh, okay? So bear with me. I look at it and I'm like, what did that mean, you know? And so bear with me, but it's better than throwing something together and coming in here and acting like I was prepared. And so here we go, Philippians chapter 3. And I think really very appropriately, again, we just keep talking about Nita Connor and her example, but I want to talk to you about Christ-likeness. We're going to read in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. The Apostle Paul says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example." And so this text really just gives us a very practical element of Christ-likeness, and that's just following examples, okay? He's urging them, and this may seem a little bit arrogant and may come across Paul being full of himself, but we know that couldn't be the case, or God wouldn't have allowed that to be a part of the scripture, okay? He's saying, just imitate the way I live, okay? Now, we better be really careful about saying that ourselves, because it would tend to lend towards boasting or pride. But he was not placing himself on a pedestal and saying, I am the standard, but simply encouraging them to imitate his pursuit of Christ-likeness. Clearly, Paul was, just like you and I, he was a fallible man. He was a great man, but he was a fallible man. The Bible records his failures as well as his victories. When he was being abused at the hands of the high priest in the book of Acts, if you'll remember, the high priest ordered for him to be struck in the face, Paul was outraged, okay? You can imagine, first of all, getting struck in the face as a man is going to set you on your heels. Hard to deal with that. He was outraged, and he said these words. He then said, Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall, for sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law? So Paul could lose his temper too, right, and call names. Because he called him a whited wall, and that was derogatory towards a high priest, okay? And so that was Paul's response, showing us he's just as human as you and I, okay? Now, Paul realized his mistake, and he realized that his retaliation and words were not appropriate, and he took responsibility and immediately apologized when you go and read that particular text, okay? But he did lose his cool, okay? Scripture tells us that God had given Paul a thorn in the flesh. And the purpose of that thorn in the flesh was to keep him from being overly prideful, because the man of his stature, spiritual stature, if you will, would be very easily to begin to say, well, look at me. You know, look what God has done, and look at what God has shown me. And so the scripture records that thorn in the flesh was given to him to humble him, because he was prone to pride. 3 decades after his salvation, 3 decades, 30 years, he's well into his walk with the Lord, and you would think, you know, 30 years, that's a mature Christian. But even then, Paul considered himself a major sinner. He said this, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So Paul saw his own fallibility. He saw his own weakness. And so he was not perfect. had he been perfect, then we could not be imitators of him. We need godly examples of fallible people, okay? Jesus is a godly example, exactly, and obviously we need to be followers and imitators of him, but we need godly examples of fallible people, human beings that have weaknesses just like you and I, because then we can learn from those examples of godly people that have overcome temptation, various imperfections, disappointments, trials, the struggles of life. When a fallible person has overcome them, then we say, hey, we can really learn from that because they're weak just like I am. And Jesus being the perfect standard is a great pattern to emulate, but he never had to pursue perfection. He was perfection, okay? And so we can learn also from people who are having to pursue perfection just as we do. Paul was fallible, and his pursuit of Christ's likeness is something that we can look at, and it gives us examples of overcoming flesh, learning to endure suffering, examples of virtue and patience and victory and worship and service and giving, all of these things involved with a person that was human just like you and I. So he made a very great example himself. But beyond that, beyond himself, he also recommends that in this text that we mark other Christians and pursue their Christ-likeness, their example of Christ-likeness. He says, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. That word mark means to observe, okay? To watch, okay? It's the same word that we find in verse 14 when we back up a little bit. He says, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. And so it carries the ideal of fixing our eyes on something. Verse 14, he's talking about he's pressing towards the mark. He's got his eyes on the goal, okay? It's the ideal is focusing, observing, and making that example that Paul talks about a goal of our own selves, okay? And there were people in Paul's life that he could say, hey, follow these guys too. They're good to watch. Timothy, Epaphroditus, I'm sure others, probably some deacons and pastors throughout the regional churches that he ministered to and did mission work in, people whose conduct that also was exemplary, that Paul said, watch people like this as well. And there are people in our lives like that, okay, who God places there as an example, as somebody that we can, I know in my own life over the course of my Christianity, there have been those people that I have marked, so to speak, people that I watch and I respect in such a hold in such high esteem that I say I want to learn from this person. I want to gain some experience in how to cope with this, that, and the other through this person. And that is why it is so important for you and I to also pursue Christ-likeness, because there could be those, and hopefully there are, and especially our children and grandchildren, those who have marked us. And we want to, if we're being marked, if you will, if we're being observed, we certainly want to be worthy of that, okay? And not perfectly, but certainly make every effort we can to be the kind of person that we wouldn't be ashamed of being marked and observed. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15 says this, says, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. That circumspectly means carefully. Walk carefully or accurately. In other words, just being attentive to how we conduct ourselves and what kind of example that we're being to others. The Bible says, a favorite one of my memory verses is, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So the point of the verse is you do this so they can benefit. And they see the glory of God in you. They see your good works, your good fruit, and honor the Lord because of that. Okay, so we're to find good examples to imitate, and then we are to learn to be good examples and learn to model humility, model unselfishness, willingness to suffer and go through hardship, devotion, courage, loyalty, dedication. All of these are characteristics of Christ-likeness, and we need to, beyond finding those examples, we need to be those examples. So we would be safe to say to someone, we probably wouldn't say this, but be an imitator of me. try to live in such a way we would be able to use those words and be something worth imitating. Our actions speak louder than our words, especially with young people. Our young people, and I'm convinced of this, are more impacted by our Christianity in action than they are by our Christianity being preached. And I see that in our youth leaders. We want them bringing the Word of God in class, but the greater impact they have upon our youth is when they take these kids and they do things with them and they demonstrate to them what serving the Lord is. And I think it's so important. And we're going to stumble, but we can show people that stumbling does not have to mean failure. It just means a fall, but not failure, okay? And when we have fallen, when we have made those mistakes, we need to be willing to confess that and make apology to the appropriate people that have been affected, even a little kid. I found it important but raising my children, that it was important when I had failed, maybe flew off the handle, maybe didn't conduct myself in the right way with my kids, to go back and tell them, hey, your dad messed up. I didn't do that right at all, and I'm sorry. And I learned that I would get further with my kids that way than any other way, because they say, hey, he's fair, and he's just in this. He's just like me. He's trying to work through this, and so I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt. And so our mistake can really turn out to be something very positive when we approach it that way. And the same thing works with adults as well. Just taking responsibility when we failed and owning it, and letting them know that, hey, I'm trying, but I am sorry. I'll ask you to turn your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Timothy, and we'll just kind of wind this up. But 1 Timothy chapter 3, and this text focuses primarily on pastors and deacons and their wives and this sort of thing. So I get that, okay? We'll talk about that in just a moment. But it outlines qualifications for godly leaders. So we can take it beyond just pastors and bishops or whatever the terminology, deacons and stuff that's used here. And we'll read it in its entirety all the way down through verse 15. It says, this is a true saying. 1 Timothy 3, if you're still looking. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop must then be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, and be of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, that's talking about the people outside the church, lest he fall into reproach and a snare of the devil. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of faith in pure conscience, and let these also first be proved. Then let them that use the office of a deacon be found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, but sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For if they have used the office of the deacon, well purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. These things I write unto thee, hoping to come to thee shortly. But if I tarry, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest, watch this, to behave thyself in the house of God, which is in the church, which is the church in of the living God, and the pillar and the ground of truth. Now again, I know that this focuses primarily on pastors and deacons and their wives, but the principles apply to leadership, okay? When we step into a role of leadership, we're stepping into a position of example. Whether we like it or not, when we take a role of leadership, we've put ourselves in a position for people to mark us and watch us and put their focus on us, okay? And so it's imperative in positions of leadership that we strive for Christ-likeness with the goal of being the kind of person that a person can look at and say, I want to be like them. And so whether it be a Sunday school teacher or a trustee or a parent or a grandparent, or if a person chooses to participate in sports as a coach or anything like that, any place where we've taken the lead over other people, it behooves us to prayerfully consider who's watching us. Okay, and it's all of us, I think, in some point, in some capacity, have someone watching us. So Paul says, find the examples and use them and be an example, okay? Appreciate your patience with me not being in Matthew chapter 12 where we normally would be. We'll be back there, Lord willing, next Wednesday. Maybe we'll be in heaven. Maybe the Lord will come back between now and then. It'd suit me fine. But if not, I'll see you in Matthew chapter 12 next week. Okay, let's stand. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. We'll take just a few moments to let our leaders who are teaching in the back go ahead and move into the auditorium. We'll cover some vacation Bible school, and we'll get you out of here quickly, okay? Aaron, will you lead us in prayer, please?